Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 341, as this week we bring you the second hour of WWF Royal Rumble 1993. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim will be with us for a bit, pretty much as long as he cares to go. However, we also have a guest host in with us this week. Filling in is one of our good friends, many-time guest host, and one of the stars of AEW Dark, among many things, John Schuyler. John, welcome back to the program. Are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1993, and watch The Hitman and the Bad Guy?
Oh, of course, and thank you again for having me. I think like I'm, if this was like PWI 500 in terms of guest hosts in the ranking system, I would definitely be somewhere in the top 300. So,
I think you're moving up higher than that, Jim.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's either top 10 or number 500, because there's only places you want to be.
Exactly.
So,
you're one of the two, which is great slot.
Good. Thank you. And I love the Royal Rumble as a pay-per-view. It's my favorite pay-per-view of the year, and especially in 93, because this is right around the time I became a huge wrestling fan. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, that's great. Plus, I think we want to get this in before everything moves to Peacock. I think that's part of the motivation here. So we're definitely getting to do that. I want to thank
Peacock. The only thing we're able to watch is old Memphis on YouTube.
that might be happening. Although after this we're going to do a WrestleMania, and I think that they've uploaded pretty much all the WrestleManias there already. So if we can find them, so that'll be good. Okay, so I want to thank many of our listeners, because thanks to them, this past week we made it back to the top 75. We're one of the 75 most listened to wrestling podcasts in Australia this week, Jim. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been up there, and now that there's literally a million wrestling podcasts, that's a lot more impressive than it used to be. So I want to thank everybody who tunes in, not only Australia, but no matter what country you're in, for helping to keep us relevant and keeping us near the top. Also, patreon.com/waybackplayback for those of you who just don't get enough of the show and would like to contribute and like to get ad-free shows out early, bonus matches, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And Jim Valley using the search engine on WWE Network to try and find something. I thought we'd want to join this in progress here.
All right, let's see what we got here. You search Bischoff.
Yes.
Come up with matches.
Okay.
So you search Bischoff. The matches gives you The Miz versus Roman Reigns.
What?
That's weird.
A classic. God, this thing just sucks. And Peacock's going to make it even worse.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got?
Well, Peacock is already getting not great reviews.
Oh, my God.
Although it's easier to watch matches on it if you can find the matches.
Oh, my God. So you even click on Bischoff's biography, and below it, it gives you a bunch of Stone Cold, the best of Fastlane. How is that a thing? Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is
all right. Or we can just find something.
I hate the network.
I know you do. All right, I've picked out a bunch of tag team matches. We can do one. Let's have you guys chime in on this one first. YouTube or WWE Network?
It doesn't matter to me.
No, it doesn't matter.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right, then I guess we'll. Okay, are you both on the network?
Yeah.
Okay, WCW Saturday Night. Go to 1993 and give me a number between 1 and 4. This will be fun.
I'll say 4.
Okay, that works. All right, so let me see if I've got that one ready. Okay, yeah, we're going to go to the WCW Saturday Night for January 23rd, 1993, which is, of course, the night before for the Royal Rumble in 1993. So it all works out.
Nice.
I'm going to get there. And we try to give you something special. So how's about, let's see here. Yeah.
What is it, January?
January 23rd, 1993, episode of WCW Saturday Night on the Superstation TBS. And why don't we go to, here it is. Well, not exactly the one I, okay. Something you don't see every day. The team of Cactus Jack and the Barbarian taking on the future Godwins of Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce.
Tremendous.
Okay, if we go to the Cactus, start of the Cactus Jack promo, and it's near the end of the episode.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I was worried about
that. 1 hour, and it's going to take.
I got it.
1 hour, four yeah. minutes, and 4 seconds, 5 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just pause it there. All right. Is everybody geared up?
Yep.
People at home, are you geared up? Okay, so here we go. It's Mick Foley and the Barbarian against Henry and Phineas Godwin. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we are. Barry Windham's just finished a match, which I think is actually the match that we did previously in Patreon. Larry Zbyszko standing by with Cactus Jack and the Barbarian. See, when Cactus Jack turned babyface on Harley Race, the Barbarian was his friend in storyline, and Barbarian turned babyface with him for a while.
I don't remember this at all. I don't remember Barbarian ever being a babyface.
For the limited space of going after Vader and Paul Orndorff, yes.
Well, I would definitely buy him as a credible babyface, because I buy him as a credible wrestler, because he's probably one of the toughest human beings walking the planet.
Yes, he is. Good guy. Very tough.
The Barbarian is also the favorite wrestler of David Wills of It's Still Real to Me fame.
Really? That's his favorite?
That is absolutely true.
Wow.
That is not a joke.
It's a good choice. Very professional, by the way, if you're looking to book the Barbarian.
I thought you were talking about David Wills.
Him too.
I've never booked David Wills, so I wouldn't know.
He takes bookings.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does.
well, not recently, the pandemic, but yeah.
Yeah. Are Cactus Jack and Barbarian probably two of the nicest human beings in the planet that could definitely still pass today as absolute lunatics, or even in 1993 when we're watching them now?
Yeah, well, definitely in 93, yeah. Yeah. There were probably fewer nice people in the business back then. No offense to anybody at the Cauliflower Alley. The main event returns in 2 weeks. Wow. All right, so let's get this classic underway. Yes. The Tex Slazenger fans in the corner, by the way, Scott Hudson and Stephen Prazak.
Wow. Really?
Regular attendees at WCW Saturday Night Taping back then.
How do you know? Are we going to see them on camera here?
I think they're behind the signs, but they were the ones reporting in on these tapings to the Observer and the Torch, so yeah.
Right. Wow, I did not know that. That's interesting. And who would have thought that Scott Hudson would be hosting this very show several years later?
That's true, Bob. Well, not I.
Judging by their outfits.
Well, this is after Scott Hudson's already been on Global, I think, so yeah.
Judging by their outfits, they cleaned out the menswear department at JCPenney.
Well, that's probably true. All right, Nick Patrick's your referee. So I guess Texas hangmen become Arkansas hog farmers. Well,
sometimes WWF gets it right, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in 95.
Right. Okay, Jim Ross is excited about this matchup, as you would expect from Jim Ross.
Yeah.
By the way, Tex Slazenger just had a birthday last week. 57 years old.
Happy birthday, Dix.
Mark Canterbury, right there.
Mean Mark Canterbury, right? Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And here's a fun fact for you guys. Shanghai Pierce was one half of the first wrestling match I ever saw live in attendance as a kid.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys want to venture to guess who his opponent was?
That's a tough one.
The South. I'm going to guess that it was someone under a mask called the Assassin.
No.
How about Eric Watts?
Good guess.
How about a Mulkey?
It's actually somebody that is still relevant today in wrestling. One AA, Arn Anderson.
Ah, there you go. Good choice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's better than mine, which was Pez Watley and the One Man Gang.
Ugh. Yeah. Rotten.
Pez is not. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't even want to say mine, because mine was like 100 years before you guys.
That's not true.
Not true.
That is true. Okay. My first live match that I recall, the main event, was Buddy Rose and Ed Viskowski against Andre the Giant.
Wow.
Jeez.
And yeah. And Abe Lincoln was a special guest referee.
He was. Wow. Yes, he was.
Stu Hart was a young up-and-comer.
Yeah. He was, yes.
Okay.
It was so long ago, he called everybody Sabretooth Tiger.
Wow. Here we go.
Jokes just keep getting better.
Yes.
Or worse.
That's what we do here.
Worse. I like this.
All
I
right.
Like this.
We're having fun here.
Cactus and Shanghai were really ragtagging each other there on the apron a second ago.
Well, they'd stay friends for a while.
In fact, wasn't it Shanghai that would portray Mankind in some
of
those skits?
Dennis Knight would end up portraying Mankind in some of the DX skits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, according to the Mick Foley book, Dennis Knight's the one who came up to him in '96 after he shared a room with Jake Roberts and said, "Excuse me, I specifically asked for the non-urine room." You know, after Jake got drunk. Well, anyway. Yeah, Jake. Dennis Knight was known for his Mick Foley impression before he did it on TV. That's the way locker rooms are sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, I've never had the pleasure of meeting Dennis, but I've always heard he was a pretty funny guy.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard bad things about him. And usually in pro wrestling, you can hear bad things about just about anyone. So.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Amazing how many times we get backdrops on these shows. I'll bet we have fast tonight and we don't have one backdrop.
Yeah. Well, backdrops and Beals out of the corner seem to be the go-to studio wrestling moves. Even though this isn't really studio wrestling, but you know what I mean.
It's a big shit. Oh, I agree.
Is it just me, or does the Barbarian look a little leaner here?
Yeah, he does.
He looks real lean.
Jacked.
Remember, Kip Fry instituted the steroid policy in WCW? And, they're actually testing people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I think when Ole got the book, that ended, but yeah.
Well, he looks lean, but he doesn't look bad at all. I mean, he's got a lot of size. Yeah.
No, he looks great. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's got more ab development than usual.
Yeah, right. That's probably the leanest he's probably ever been.
Yeah, you're right.
Nick Patrick also looking very lean in his slacks that come up past his belly button.
Not as lean as he looked in that Continental match that the Jim and I saw one time, but yeah. Pretty lean.
Now, what was the story behind Canterbury wearing the mask, or was there one? Were they both under hoods at one point, or did I make that up?
No, they weren't. They wanted him not to be recognized as Mark Canterbury.
Okay.
Probably because he was an enhancement talent.
Yeah, he'd been an enhancement talent forever, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Well, then that makes sense.
Yeah. They actually did a thing where they unmasked him at one point, I think, right before he left. And whoever the announcer was, Tony Schiavone, had to go, "Oh, my goodness, it's Mark Canterbury." Crickets. This is why you don't generally use enhancement guys under, as big mass surprises.
No, not at all.
Let's see. What was it? Cornette and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Abdullah the Butcher no-showed, so he had... So he had his masked ninja, I believe, was Larry Santo under a hood.
Ooh,
and
boy.
Nothing against Larry Santo, but
yeah. Sure, that put a lot of butts in the seats.
Yeah. There we go.
Mark Canterbury, by the way, is a large gentleman.
Oh yes,
deceivingly. Yes.
Yeah, he's got the same issue on television that Billy Gunn has. That Billy Gunn, again, a massive human being.
Oh.
Who, for some reason, it doesn't come across as much as he is on television.
Right.
Yeah. When Jim Ross's voice goes up an octave like that, he's getting into the match. So.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, and Billy also, to your point, Jim, had big tag partners too, like Road Dogg's a deceivingly big guy in terms of height, as is Bart. You know, Bart was a pretty stout guy as well. So when you see them next to Billy, Billy looks like an average-sized guy. But you look at Billy in the AEW locker room, and he looks like Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, I saw him one time at the Charlotte airport. That's a little bit that close to me. He went by and was like, oh, my gosh, it's true. He's unique. Pretty large beak. He's just, you can't get over it until you see the person. It's incredible how large he is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so your winners are Cactus Jack and the Barbarian, and I'm going to stop it here. But I kind of wish they had done more with those guys as a tag team. We're going to take a break and talk about one of the many fine products that support Wayback Playback, and we'll be right back. Jim and I would like to tell you about our new sponsor, Bellway. Bellway delivers fiber supplements, all natural fiber supplements with real fruit flavor.
I got the raspberry lemon here, and it's been great. You know, people know I've been following my health issues, and because of those issues, I can't take regular pain relievers. I've been prescribed a very low dose of oxycodone, and it doesn't matter. That oxycodone will plug you up.
Wow.
And, it is what it is. And getting the Bellway fiber, I was like, well, this could help. And then, again, given my health situation, there are certain things I can't have. And I looked on the back, and it's low sodium, low potassium. I totally can have this. And it's been great. It tastes great, and it definitely helps. So thank you to Bellway helping me with my situation.
Yes, Bellway contains a special kind of fiber called soluble fiber that's especially effective in getting rid of bloating. It helps you stay regular without making you run to the bathroom, which can help prevent bloating from happening in the first place.
I can confirm that.
Okay. I think the best part of Bellway is that unlike some of the other fiber products, no artificial sweeteners, no sugar. It's flavored with real fruit, so it tastes better, and it's healthier for you.
And it's not just my situation. It's all natural, it's vegan, it's keto, paleo-friendly, and gluten-free. So depending on your diet, it fits right in, and it tastes great. And not only that, you can get 20% off your first order at Bellway. How do they do that, Pat?
Well, for us, you just get on the site. When you check out, they'll ask you for a code. You use the code WP for Wayback Playback, and that gets you 20% off your first order. And they also have a deal for free shipping on if you get a subscription or if you place an order of over $40, which is not that difficult to do, folks. Comes in tubs and stick packs, just like if you're making the little lemonades to mix with your water at work. And right now it's only available in the USA, but definitely go get it. It's Bellway, getbellway.com, and the promo code is WP. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, this is the part, John and Jim, that we talk about what's going on culturally at the time that we're doing this, at the time that this show is taking place. And, of course, this is January 24th, 1993, a Sunday. So let's see. Where do we start? The bestsellers. The New York Times best-selling books on this date. Dragon Tears by Dean Koontz at its first week at number one. It's apparently a novel about a demonic serial killer in California. Might not be fiction. I don't know. And nonfiction, The Way Things Ought to Be by the late Rush Limbaugh III. So that just gives you an idea of where we were in, at the time. So really not all that different, I'd say.
Not at all. All right. Interesting choices in the top. Is that New York bestsellers, you said?
New York Times bestsellers, yes.
All right,
for DJ Jim Valley, one of his favorites was number one on the Billboard charts. For the ninth straight week, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. At the request of many of our listeners, I will refrain from singing that song.
So. Oh, yes.
Oh, come on. You got to give the people what they want. I think they want to hear you.
Trust me, I am giving the people what they want.
More money in Dolly Parton's pocket. That's all that was. Made Dolly Parton even richer for the empire that she controls today.
Okay. The top movie in the country, for the third week, it is Aladdin, starring Scott Weininger and late Robin Williams.
Starring who? Who's the first guy?
Scott Weininger. He was the guy who was the voice of Aladdin.
I didn't even know that. Seriously.
No, I didn't either.
I look these things up.
Starring Robin Williams.
That's why I get to do this. Starring Robin Williams and this guy. Yes.
You could put a gun to my head and say, who is the voice of Aladdin? And I couldn't tell you.
Well, now we know.
You'd say Todd Pettengill.
You'd
have as good a chance as anybody else would. Top news story on this date. Oh, good grief. The Polish ferry boat, the John Hulowitz, sinks off the German island of Rügen, 54 people killed. Yeah, that's kind of a downer, folks. Okay, sports. The NFL is getting ready. It's January, so the NFL must be getting ready for Super Bowl. This will be Super Bowl 27, which is supposed to take place the end of January in Pasadena, California. And the Buffalo Bills are in their third straight Super Bowl, so they're certain to win this one when they take on Troy Aikman and the Dallas Cowboys.
Oof.
Yeah.
90s blonde Aikman.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, too, so that would have been the Super Bowl for me.
Yeah, the only bad spot on it for the Cowboys was the whole Leon Lett incident, which football fans know about and the rest of you don't care about. If you were on TV, if you were at home on Sunday and you're getting ready for the show, you might have been watching the NBA on NBC, where the big game was the Portland Trail Blazers against the Utah Jazz. In Utah, the Blazers win 124-113, making a nice big second half comeback. The great Clyde the Glide Drexler had 28 points for Portland, and future WCW wrestler Carl the Mailman Malone had 42 points for the Jazz.
Oof.
Yeah. In a losing effort.
He should have started dishing out diamond cutters.
Poor Carl Malone, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. All right, so we pick things back up, folks, at 37 minutes and 30 seconds. There's a shot of the little Titantron that they used to have there as we get ready for the third match of the show and the first match of this hour. Is everyone with me?
I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1, and away we go. Oh, look who we have. It's the Battle of the Big Men to kick things off on this episode of Way Back Playback.
It's amazing those graphics are state-of-the-art for 1993. I mean, WWF always at the best production values. And today, Jeremy Borash could crank that out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And also Bam Bam Bigelow, star of the movie Major Payne, right? One of the first wrestling – well, not one of the first, but a wrestling crossover nonetheless.
Yeah.
And was this his re-debut on pay-per-view in the company?
I want to say yes, because I don't think he worked the 92 Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's back. He's making his presence known. And he's going against another big man, quite literally, from Cobb County, Georgia, the great Ray Traylor, the big boss man. Yay. Okay.
And this is probably Boss Man's last pay-per-view of this run, I would think.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure he wasn't a part of WrestleMania 9, and he was doing stuff for Smoky Mountain Wrestling around that time, and would end up in WCW not that long afterwards. So, yes.
Right.
Good call, John.
Thank you.
Yes.
I actually remember him debuting on Saturday Night in the Boss Man outfit. And
he was the boss.
Yeah.
Man.
But he was actually wearing that outfit right there for his debut, but I guess WWF stepped in and wouldn't let him wear it any further after. So he went to like the tactical gear, the SWAT team gear or whatever.
Well, he was the Guardian Angel.
Oh, yeah. But that was like later in 94, I think.
Yeah.
All
right. I mean, seriously, why did they think that just dropping the word man, they could get away? Seriously.
That's WCW.
Yeah.
I mean, even I wasn't there, and I knew. I was like, oh, they're going to get sued for this.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was probably, man, I was a kid, so I was probably like 5 years old. And if I had
to stop him from talking, Jim.
So if I had to like draw what a wrestling villain would look like from head to toe, it would probably look like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I just thought that his presentation was so cool, especially later on when they added Luna with him. Just that package deal of the two of those, you know, they just had a unique look or whatever. But Bam Bam, especially with the tattoos on his head, I just thought he looked like somebody you wouldn't want to cross in like a biker bar or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
so
that's valid.
You know, I don't know all that happened, you know, politically or backstage, or maybe Scott Bigelow's difficult, or maybe he's not. I don't know anything about that, but you just look at the moves that he does. And like you said, his look and his presentation, especially the first time when he came in with Hogan in the Land of the Giants. It's like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
guy should not have missed as big as he did in WWF. He just seems custom made for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
And then you look at the match that he had with LT or Lawrence Taylor at WrestleMania 11. You know,
yeah.
not anybody would have been able to pull that match off. And, right. you know, Bigelow did a fantastic job making LT look competent.
Incredible, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, he got a WrestleMania match and all that, but I don't know. It just seems like he could have and should have been so much bigger in WWF.
Well, yeah. They turned him babyface after WrestleMania 11, and then they put the water wings on his outfit and let him be Diesel's buddy, and that didn't it didn't pan out so well.
Yeah, I don't even think Bam Bam even held a title or anything in WWF, which is shocking to me. You know, never obviously the world champ. I don't think he was a tag champ, and then he never won the IC belt either. So it's kind of mind-boggling if you think of it that way.
It is.
He could have been Hogan's buddy, and then turned on him like so many others.
Right. That's what I figured his arc was going to be at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was sadly not to be. Also, I don't know about the decision making process, but he came into WCW Crockett and end of '88, got a big push, got a feud with Barry Windham, and then leaves with Oliver Humperdinck to go join Dusty in the PWF. And probably not the greatest move at the time.
Right.
You know, I watched some of that PWF lately on YouTube. I knew about it, and I've read about it, but I've never seen it before. It's fascinating.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the studio portion of it. It's that holds up. I'm just, you know, you're trying to build a wrestling promotion around Dusty Rhodes in 1989, though, and it's problematic. It's problematic, and that's why Dusty got himself off to WWF.
I'll have to seek out some of this PWF footage that you guys are talking about because I don't think I've really gotten the chance to catch any of it. Was it a Florida?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Florida.
Okay.
It's Florida, but they say it's under the PWF, so Dusty's like a world champion, and then they have the Florida championship and the Florida tag titles.
Right. Ah, there you go. Okay.
So, but there's a lot of names on there you'll recognize. So.
Yeah. Good. I'll definitely check it out. And I know a lot of people talk about how athletic Bam Bam is and was or whatever, but, you know, Ray Traylor was right up there too in terms of a big man that can move, in terms of his athleticism too. He was deceivingly or deceptively athletic.
Yeah. I mean, especially you look at when he, you know, how big he was when he debuted in WWF in, I want to say, '88.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was still big and mobile and athletic, but he slimmed down. And, and really got into work and was able to work the style and, you know, was probably doing as well, anybody in terms of in-ring for a few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now this was the time when guys had demons and he was one of them.
Mm. I also just love, I mean, we talked about the presentation of Bam Bam too with the flames and the tattooed head, but like, you know, I think nowadays one of the things people complain about a lot with wrestling is how everybody kind of looks the same, or everybody has the same haircuts, the same, you know, style of attire or whatever. There's no way you would ever get, you know, the Big Boss Man confused with Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, both right. have completely different presentations, about the same size, you know, but, you know, you would, you know, they would just, two guys just stand out. They both look different, unique.
You know, yeah. You know, for all the criticism about how, you know, how they've gotten away from old style pro wrestling, I think WWF might be WWE might be the worst at it, because they're almost at the point where they're doing the Jim Cornette thing of what's my gimmick? Your name is Ray Traylor and you're a wrestler. You know,
yeah.
There's too many guys who you see their name and they're muscular and they're a wrestler and you know nothing about them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, John. I mean, let me ask you, you're younger. Let's say that Ray Traylor debuted today, okay? And let's say that Ray Traylor, as we all know, legitimately was a prison guard and came out, and rather than just saying, hey, he's the Big Boss Man, you know, you say, hey, I'm Ray Traylor, and, you know, I was a prison guard, and I wear this outfit for my brothers, you know, the Thin Blue Line for Law and Order, and I want to represent them as a pro wrestler and introduce it in a more realistic style, and then he's Ray Traylor, and maybe then over time you integrate the name Big Boss Man. Do you think a presentation like that could work, or is that just a time that's passed?
No, I think you're 100% right. I think that's actually brilliant, and I mean, if there was a creative team out there listening to this and you were going to introduce a Ray Traylor in 2021, that would be the perfect way to do it. I definitely don't disagree with anything you said at all.
Yep. Nope.
That's fairly brilliant. I agree.
But, you know, back in the mid-80s, Dusty Rhodes and the people at Crockett, you know, this guy Ray Traylor shows up for a TV taping the size that he is, and their first move is, okay, this guy's never working enhancement again. Let's get him into a gimmick so he doesn't look the same, and let's make plan. You know, let's build him up. And I think And I think that it's, you know, it's probably more organic finding talent that way than taking several dozen wrestlers, many of whom are very good, and putting them down in the performance center and just sort of shaking them and just sort of, you know, spinning it around until something shakes out.
Yeah. I agree with that as well.
Well done.
Barely got him over there.
Yeah.
And plus we're also in I wouldn't say the infancy, but, you know, action figures at this time in 1993 were a big hit, like the Hasbros and things of that nature. You know, not that they were, you know, action figures were fairly, you know, new or anything like that, but, you know, they've still made a huge impact on probably merch sales and, you know, whatnot for WWF. They probably made WWF a lot of money. So both of these guys make good action figures is what I'm beating around the bush to say. You know, they both, again, have that unique look. And, you know, so something like that as opposed to just another guy in wrestling tights would, you know, sell.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things about the WWF back then. You know, the music, you know, the first few notes of the song hit, you know which wrestler, you know who's coming out and who he is and what he does, and you know the costumes are distinctive enough you can see them from the, you know, from the top section of the arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not that that matters so much in 2021, but.
Yeah, we need to get people back in the building.
That's true. when the time comes, yes, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Safely, but yes.
Safe, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, these two. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just gonna say these two guys are still moving, and we're probably what 8-9 minutes in at this point. Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go.
As a fan, when Ray Traylor went to WCW, it's like, I didn't want to see him for a while. I wanted to take a break, you know? He wasn't fresh.
No, he wasn't.
And the diving headbutt gets the win for Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right. And there we go. For, I mean, first, you know, first major win for Bam Bam in this run in WWF.
I mean, and he could have been built up for a number of different things.
Right.
Bam Bam.
I was almost going to say he could have even been held off TV and re-debuted in the Rumble. Because WWF fans would probably remember him from his prior run. So, as Owen Hart's getting beat up in the Zubaz.
Yes. So 2 weeks before the Rumble, the number one contender, Razor Ramon, beats up Bret Hart's little brother, Owen Hart, in his Zubaz. Yes.
Yep. I feel like every bad guy beat up Owen Hart on the way to Bret.
That's what they did. And Bobby Heenan, of course, make sure to laugh on camera. So.
That is a sweet jacket, Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, I need man, he took the words. He took the words right out of my mouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is that? Velvet or what is?
Looks like velvet.
Yeah, looks there's great.
A beautiful. That's a smoking jacket. That's what they call it. Right.
It's like the first. It's like the only solid color he owns. His jackets always have patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It weirdly matches his glasses too.
Well, that's the advantage there. You see, you want to accessorize like that. Hey, Chico. All right. Say hello to my little friend. Ray Rougeau holding the mic.
Is he at a basketball game? He sure is.
Wow. Yeah, he's at a basketball game. Yeah, they taped, what was it? Huh. I guess they were.
Ray Rougeau, one of the legitimate tough guys in pro wrestling history.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, it's time, folks.
Ray still works for WWE.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's quite a trick.
Yeah.
That's a make good for him.
All right, so this is our Wayback Playback main event, and it's also for the WWF title. And Razor Ramon's been in for, what, 6 months now? And he is he's getting the title shot at Bret Hart at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, this was probably, I mean, I don't know if you guys will agree or not, but this is probably the match that probably, you know, made Razor a top guy, or at least, you know, I know he was put with Flair coming in, and, you know, they had that build-up Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. But maybe this title match with Bret, even though, well, I'm not going to give away spoilers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes the way it goes. But, you know, I think Razor kind of established or submitted himself as a top guy just by on having this title match with Bret.
As a guy who stands on his own.
Yeah,
as opposed to somebody's muscle.
Right. He's not Flair's tag partner, like Jim was saying. He's not, you know.
Yeah.
He's not like the henchman. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Bret
God, Bret Hart's so cool.
Right.
He's looking lean. He looks good.
Yeah.
After years of Hulk Hogan, it was nice to have a Bret Hart with that, you know, with that sort of straight ahead style. And yeah, not everybody has to be a poet laureate on interviews. You can have your own style and do good promos. I mean, Scott Steiner is not Hulk Hogan, but he, you know, he can cut a good promo.
It can be entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever deny that.
Okay, there we go. There's JJ.
Wow. Blackjack
Santa.
Yep. There we go.
Looks like JJ was bobbing his head to the Hitman theme.
All right.
Bret Hart, the James Dean of wrestling.
Yep.
Very, very accurate. Yeah.
He's what they needed at that point.
There's Stu and Helen in the front row. Yep.
They wanted, I mean, they needed a Bret Hart to be the guy that the younger brothers of the Hogan fans could be into, you know, could be their own.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my brother was a huge Hulk Hogan fan and I was a huge Bret Hart fan.
Exactly.
So, and my brother was older than me, so that's a very accurate statement. Also, my favorite of the world titles probably right there, the Winged Eagle. I always thought that was such a beautiful title.
Absolutely.
And I know why WWE never gave us a Bret Hart versus Hulk Hogan match, but for WCW not to do it is just pretty much unforgivable.
Yeah, WCW did a lot of unforgivable things.
They did, yes.
Seriously, how hard was it just to repeat the Sting build through 1998 and have Bret challenge at Starrcade? How hard is that?
No, we need Bret to be Hogan's tag partner. That's what we needed.
Yeah, just like, oh my God. Don't you like money? I like money.
Yeah.
I mean, sheesh.
You would have thought they wanted to make some of the money back, too, with what they spent on Bret. So.
Yeah, well.
You could have made all of that money back and then some.
Yes, you could have.
But whatever.
Razor's giving them the toothpick. And here we go.
Oh, man.
All right.
You know, it's fascinating that here's Scott Hall. He's now Razor Ramon. And essentially, he's got a similar look as the diamond stud.
Yes.
But WWF adds better gear. They add an actual personality. And boom, you've got a superstar.
And another thing is they produce those vignettes, and I think that gets lost sometimes in when you're talking about that era is the fact that WWF's production team was you said it earlier with the graphics. I mean, their production team has always been ahead of the curve, and definitely in terms of if we're comparing it to WCW, you know, I don't think there's any comparison at this time anyways. WCW is really producing – those, you know, horrible mini movies as opposed to spending their money, you know, reintroducing or introducing new stars.
Yeah.
WCW produced mini movies and then decided we need more mini movies and they need to be worse.
Yeah.
That was the part that, you know, that was the part I didn't get.
You can
goes back, goes back to what we were talking about with the unforgivable things that WCW did.
Yeah.
No kidding. But I mean, you can say that maybe up until, I don't know, a couple of years from now in 93, you know, WCW, NWA had the superior in-ring action.
Oh yeah.
But WWF was successful because it had the superior production values and it's a much more digestible product for the masses. And that's why it was successful because if I own a TV station, I'm going to sit here and go, well, this is a much better looking product. I don't know anything about wrestling. This all looks the same to me. They're doing the same moves as far as I can tell. But these guys, you know, there's a policeman. There's a guy with flames. There's Scarface.
The arena's well lit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's families. You know, I'm going to choose this product, this is McDonald's. And
I was getting ready to use the McDonald's analogy. They're not
they're
not trying to sell you the best hamburgers all the time, but they're trying to sell you the most hamburgers. And same with WWF is, you know, especially now with streaming and everything, you know, they're trying to sell you the most wrestling that they can. It's not always the best in terms of the in-ring stuff, even though these two guys are having a hell of a match.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, the in-ring. Yeah.
It increased. It increased as the years went on, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're watching the product, you're still gonna, if you can get through all that, there's still gonna be good wrestling in there. That hasn't been the issue with WWF.
Yeah.
WWE. Yeah.
It's a little ironic that Earl Hebner's in there refereeing this match with Bret involved as the champ.
It is. But I mean. But I mean, Earl got, you know, pretty much all the big matches in this era because he was, you know, he was their top ref.
Yeah, with a member of the clique, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
That's true also.
I don't know if the clique exists at this point.
They're not really the clique yet. Kevin Nash is still in WCW and Sean Waltman's not. Sean Waltman's in Global.
Hunter's not there yet.
Hunter's not there. Yeah, Hunter's still in WCW too. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrorizing, brother.
He's French. Is he French yet?
Is he Jean-Paul Levesque? He might be.
Oh, well, at least Dusty didn't make him a cowboy. Dusty made everybody cowboys.
Well, he didn't need Hunter to be a cowboy. He had Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were actually pretty good cowboys.
Yeah. Even better hog farmers.
That's true.
Was it Hop Along Levesque?
That would have been something.
God. That was always one of my criticisms of Dusty. It's like, okay, there's too much country stuff. It's good to
have... We're going to call you Buck. We're going to call you Buck Fifths.
Yeah, and I'm not talking Southern. I'm talking about country.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There was too much reliance on John Wayne stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Some of it was good, but there was too much.
Yeah.
Watch some other movies.
Right. Well, I mean, there are people in WCW then and who think that you can, all you need to know about booking wrestling can get from watching John Wayne movies. So.
Which were in pretty decent rotation on the Turner Network, from what I remember.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can't remember. I mean, you know, so we just had St. Patrick's Day. I can't count the number of times that, the Quiet Man shows up on March on the TBS, you know.
Yeah.
Which does feature a great fight scene, so there you go.
Yeah. I like how these guys are taking their time, too. You know, nothing seems rushed. Razor's working a very methodical style, and Brett, obviously, like he always is selling his ass off, just making Razor look great.
I mean, Razor's new here, but, I mean, you know, these guys do not lack experience.
And I think if you did a Venn diagram of their two wrestling philosophies, they would definitely cross over in the sense that they're very solid. If, you know, they're not Shawn Michaels, they're not going to do something incredibly spectacular, but it's always solid, it always looks good, and it's an exciting, good match. Always.
And
both these guys have like a similar philosophy, I think, in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you'd always hear from people in WCW is how Scott Hall's underrated as somebody who understands wrestling psychology.
Yeah,
he was very good helping put together stuff for other people, for his friends. So yeah.
Yeah, he still probably has a great mind for wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that these two, I mean, Brett had great chemistry with just about everybody. If he didn't, usually it was something wrong with the other guy, but Brett had a ability to pull the best matches that guys would have out of them. And here, you know, the chemistry is so good that they would actually do something that they didn't do a whole lot back then. They do it all the time now, but these two would wrestle again on pay-per-view in just a few months at King of the Ring.
Yep, and another very good match, yes.
Yeah, I'd actually suggest that people are listening to seek that one out if they haven't seen it, because I think that ranks right up there. It might even be better than what we're watching now, and what we're watching now is really good. So,
all right, and if you have access to the Wayback Playback archives, I know Jim and I did the '93 King of the Ring, and that was that's a heck of a show. So yeah, go on and seek it out if you haven't. Yeah, even if you don't have Patreon, go out and seek out that show. That's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, I know Brett was really banking on getting that match with Hogan in 93, but you still have to think about what a 93 he had. Like, all of his matches on pay-per-view were, amazing. Even though I think the last, the Survivor Series, he'd be in that 4-on-4 with the Knights and Shawn, but, all of his stuff on pay-per-view was always solid. Brett was
I mean, his feud with Jerry Lawler during the summer of 93, when you're struggling to get through this Lex Luger and Yokozuna stuff, you knew that you had that to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. And I think that did just as much for Brett as it did for Lawler coming in.
Absolutely.
Because it gave Brett depth. I mean, you always heard about his family and, his parents and all of his brothers and sisters, but Lawler was the first one to really kind of target them and go after him. So, It kind of gave the Hitman character a little bit more range, more depth, I think.
Yeah. It helped, you know, after guys lose the title, they lose momentum. But all of that helped Brett get enough momentum that even though it wasn't in the plans, they went back to him at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
Because he was that much, you know, he was that much more over.
Yeah.
All right. And we're back to the chin lock.
I always felt like after Brett, they tried to kind of recreate some of that with Shawn and Jose Lothario, and it didn't work because Shawn Michaels is a different person and a different character in the ring. And that's, while it works for Brett to stick up for family or somebody older and is getting bullied, you know, the Shawn Michaels character, it doesn't work to have a mentor like that. To take nothing away from Jose Lothario and his career and any contributions. Right. It just, the chemistry is wrong and not what fans expected or wanted from a Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Yeah, and Shawn was so flamboyant and his character was he was very self-centered. He always wanted to be in the spotlight. So putting him with a mentor or an older guy that even though it was a shoot that Jose trained him or whatever, you know, it was just like nobody would buy Shawn putting anybody ahead of himself, you know what I mean? And that was just the time. Right. That was the character. So
plus the fact that even though he was trained, he trained Shawn Michaels, they had stayed close in real life. So, you know, it was a bit much to buy. I mean, it was a bit much to buy Jose suddenly becoming, you know, Shawn's best friend and mentor and the father figure all at once.
Yeah. And Shawn just treated him like crap, from what I hear.
Yeah, there's that.
Have you guys seen the new Shawn Michaels action figure?
The bald one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that surface on the internet or social media, yeah.
Who would want that?
I don't know.
Completists? I don't know. People who, let's see.
People in Saudi?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you associated with that really bad match. And it's sad. That's what I'm saying. Why would you want a figure that is like, you just don't associate any of the glory days?
It's 2021. Bald is sexy. I mean, that's...
I'm not criticizing anybody. Right. I'm just saying that figure represents one terrible match.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that match all the way through just because I was such a huge Shawn fan that it would completely ruin, you know, everything for me, I think. If I were to go back and watch it,
I watched the summary of it, and they did in the Undertaker special, and that was, you know, and I mean just the looks on their faces as they're wrapping up this match, and they all four of them looking at each other like this was awful.
Yeah.
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 I mean, there was just no hiding that.
And sadly, go ahead.
I mean, Shawn is obviously a different person now, and he's giving back to NXT, and I respect all of that.
Yeah.
And I respect Shawn's in-ring career, but I think at times in the past, you know, when he bailed out of WrestleMania and did other things that weren't professional, I found it unprofessional. Yeah. I guess that there's a part of me, not going to lie, that saw that match as a little karma, whether the new Shawn deserved it or not.
I was just going to say all four guys that were in that match are highly regarded in terms of being good workers. You know, especially Shawn and Hunter and Taker and even Kane. And so it just sucks because I think that's going to be one of the lasting memories on their careers. It's going to be something that's going to be tough for any of those guys to kind of shed or get people to forget about.
I'm kind of hoping not. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping it just sort of fades into that one sort of fades into oblivion.
Yeah,
we can all hope.
It's not all that. I mean, it wasn't a special show. It wasn't a special match.
And we didn't pay for it.
That's true. That's true. We weren't the ones who paid for it. Yes.
Yeah. Paid on the network. But I mean,
no, trust me, we're still paying for it.
Well, yeah, I guess you could call it that. All right, going for the sharpshooter. No. Oh.
Wisely getting to the ropes. Oh, Razor's in trouble.
Well, yeah, but when you know who you are and what your gimmick, what your character is, and you know how you're going to act in any situation, you're able to come up with, you know, what would Razor do to, as a counter, you know, what would Brett do to try and lock it in more. Yeah, I think that's what both these guys have.
You're in the moment.
Yeah.
So Razor's targeted Brett's ribs for most of this match. I really like how, you know, they were getting ready to trade punches there. Brett fired one off on Razor upstairs, and then Razor just got Brett with one in the gut, and it doubled him over. You know, I think a lot of guys nowadays should watch something like this, because a lot of things nowadays are 250-50. How many times do you see guys on TV just doing the strike exchange in the middle of the ring, and, you know, everybody wants to, quote-unquote, get their stuff in, you know, it's a little 250-50 as to where, you know, these guys are telling a story.
Right. Right, yeah. The storytelling is, it's the key to a lot of the matches from this era.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I remember about 1993, because I think I was playing the heck out of the WWF Royal Rumble video game on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I had it for Sega Genesis, but yeah, that was quite the game.
Well, Jim, we're also still in prime WrestleFest era for gaming.
That's
true. Arcade and, yeah. Go to your arcade. It's still there.
You have to walk downstairs, though, and that's difficult.
Well, yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I still got my WrestleFest.
That's right.
John, if you ever come to Seattle, you can play my WrestleFest.
I'm going to take you up on that.
I haven't played that in so long. It would take me a while to get back into. Oh, here we go.
Oh, nice. What a counter.
And Pat, if you ever come to Seattle, know that I've moved.
Yes, okay. I understand.
No, I'm kidding. Your daughter can play my WrestleFest anytime.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. Mama doesn't want her to watch any wrestling for ever.
That's good parenting.
Yes, it is.
That's good parenting.
And Jim, did you have a go-to character in the Royal Rumble video game?
Oh, God, I liked them all.
Yep.
I don't know that I had a go-to. I think I played them all. Off the top of my head, I always laughed at Crush's head crush.
Legit, I was going to say my go-to guy on that game was Kona Crush.
Nice.
Yeah, he was the one I would always just somehow find a way to win every time with. And he just looked cool with the orange and the yellow and the purple. Yeah.
Well, again, you're talking about differentiating the characters. That video game is another example.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can tell that you're playing Tatanka, and he's a Native American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's Earl. Got the... You tell different characters. Oh, look at that!
This is it.
Shades of SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, him and Mr. Perfect.
Yep. Oh, there we go.
Got all his face.
Oh.
Look at his face.
That's it.
Look at that.
Long before the days of tapping out.
Yeah. Hey.
Good match.
Yeah, very good match.
That's great. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. All right, look how happy Stu is. Almost as happy as if Stu had been able to work over Scott Hall himself.
Yeah. Yeah, let me get my hands on him, Tiger.
Alright.
You know, I actually own a Winged Eagle belt.
Oh.
Is
I bought it from a guy for only $800.
Wow.
I sold it for like $12.
That's not bad.
No, it ain't bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it's no Bitcoin, but, you know, it'll do.
Yeah,
I'm invested in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. I should not have sold it.
I always pictured myself when I was a kid, if I was, like, pretending to be the world champ, I was always pictured myself with the title Brett's holding right now. Such a fantastic title.
Mm-hmm. Look, that Joan Jett was impressed.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
She did that joke, Joan Jett. Yeah.
I think that was Joan Jett.
Sure. Okay.
Now we have, following this is the longest segment in wrestling history, the Narcissus.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yes, it is.
Yes, and then the longest Rumble match ever.
Well, so we're gonna stop before the longest Rumble match ever. We'll save that one for next week. But here goes Bobby Heenan. He's getting ready. Oh my goodness! Yes. So this is the guy that Bobby Heenan's bringing in to get his revenge on Mr. Perfect. Can't hardly wait.
Yeah, thinking this is gonna be good. Yep. Not.
I never understood. It's like Bobby Heenan was like, never got the name right. It's like, is he Narcissus? Is he the narcissist?
He was Narcissus, and supposedly Luger's like, no, I'm not going to be Narcissus. So they compromised on the narcissist Lex Luger, which became Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And then it was just weirdly dropped, too, just so they could turn him babyface. There was no explanation, right?
Yeah, it was mostly so they could turn him babyface.
Yeah. So weird.
But, I mean, I agree that you wanted to, you know, people are going to know it's Lex Luger. You might as well call him Lex Luger.
Right. And he had been signed for like a year, right? He just couldn't compete
in the
ring.
He'd been in the World Bodybuilding Federation. Yeah, he'd been the WBF guy. Yeah. So it's not like you don't know where Lex Luger's, you know, what Lex Luger's been up to or that he's around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can just... You got the mental picture of Vince just walking Lex through this because, you know, because Lex doesn't know how to pose or anything.
Right.
Yeah, I can see Vince rehearsing this for hours, day of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, just see, I watch this and I always imagine Heenan, basically Vince doing it instead of Heenan.
Yeah.
Yes!
Ah, look at yourself.
Look at yourself.
Look at the striations, pal.
Taste your eyes.
I
think part of the problem, aside from the name, is that outfit. I mean, they dressed him like the third Beverly brother.
Yes.
Yeah, very true.
We've already seen the Beverly brothers on last week's episode, so.
Yeah, he looks like an old lady's lamp.
Oh, <God.
laughs>
Oh, you say an old lady's lamp?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A fringe. Go to your grandma's house. Right. Lamp in the corner. All the stuff on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I never drew the Beverly Brothers comparison until just now, but you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's same colors, almost the same color scheme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same style in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lex is one of the few wrestlers who was better promoted in WCW than WWE.
Oh, yeah.
There aren't many. Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, they did the bus tour. They, you know, they just couldn't pull, they just couldn't bring themselves to pull the trigger yet.
Well, yeah. I don't know if they lack confidence in him or what, but. They did that entire bus campaign and only for him to win by count out.
Yeah. It was just so rushed. It's like one week he's an egomaniac and the next week he's, you know, the all-American boy.
Yeah.
Just there was no different period of, you know, oh, Lex Luger is, you know, I've changed my ways or, you know, there was no, nothing. It's boom! And you need that time period. There's no story there.
Have Yoko win the title from Hogan at King of the Ring and continue to bonsai Hogan or something and make Lex or have Lex make the save or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say that he's changed his ways. He's thinking about somebody else for a change instead of himself. Yeah.
Or, you know, he's better than anybody. And, you know, Yokozuna's superior Japanese or whatever he was. And, you know, then you interview guys And, you know, you interview the narcissist, and he's so big on himself. He's like, hey, I'm not so sure if he's better than everybody in the United States.
Yeah, there you go.
You kind of, you know, every couple of weeks, Lex is stronger and stronger against. And then suddenly he's,
yeah.
You know, I don't think the patriotic way was going to go. Patriotism was not as big as in the 80s.
No.
You know, so.
Just seemed like a desperate attempt, like it was done out of desperation or whatever.
Well, it was done out of desperation. So, yeah. Yes. Yes, and they're getting over, you know, that he's beyond perfection, which is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, I think Randy Savage was more of the all-American guy when Hogan left than Luger.
Oh, yeah.
Duggan.
Yeah. Well, Duggan,
and
yeah.
Duggan, but Duggan was kind of on his way out too, right?
Yeah, Randy Savage was the guy Vince decided. Vince, since Hogan's gone, Randy Savage is going to be our Babe Ruth, the legend that we, you know, the legend, the attraction that we trot out every once in a while, you know, when we need something big. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the problem, though, is they used so much of Randy's capital to put so many other people over, including next week, we'll see. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
That it's really a diminishing return. Randy Savage was such a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was going to get credit for that.
Well, and I mean, a few weeks ago we had Randy and Yokozuna at the March to WrestleMania, so yeah. There we go. Okay, so now the Black Scorpion's going to come out from behind the curtain and with a tiger, right? I mean, that's yeah. what we're setting up for, right?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the curtain comes back up and it's both Beverly Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh man, if you're a fan of the Royal Rumble match, I bet you hated that segment.
Yep. well, hold on. Things are picking up because here comes Caesar and Cleopatra.
God, talk about prolonging the inevitable.
Oh my goodness! You know, the only way this could be any longer, Jim, is if Dino Bravo was trying to break the world bench press record.
Or there's a pose down between Rude and Warrior.
Yeah. Well, even that.
Oh, that's not. Louis Spicoli.
Yeah, that's true. Hey,
I don't know if I've ever noticed that until now.
I'm guessing that their deal with Caesar's Palace, they had to put this commercial in.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the world's largest toga party at WrestleMania 9. Even though I think the only people wearing togas were the announcers.
Well, and also this early 90s, this is family Vegas destination.
But they were trying for that.
This is totally still, you know, pirate ships and pyramids and bring the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they got to get wrestling fans to the WrestleMania, which WrestleMania 9 is bell to bell an awful show.
Yes.
But for spectacle, it's fascinating.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's gonna be one of the choices. So get your votes ready. Oh, friends, Romans, countrymen,
lend Mick Foley your ear.
Yes.
Where's getting the genius ready, when you need him?
Getting ready to play Mr. Peterman on Seinfeld. Yeah. Well, not the voice anyway.
Yes. Nice sandals.
All right.
Where's this Royal Rumble at?
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah, it's always in Sacramento. It's like every Royal Rumble is like been in Sacramento like 30 times.
It just seems that way, Jim.
Yeah. But can you imagine if this was in Philly or something?
God, they'd be throwing garbage at the ring.
You absolutely have to have this somewhere in, like, Sacramento.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like Philadelphia. These poor people, these poor actors.
Yeah, they'd be getting roasted.
Oh my word.
I can't believe, and she's going, I can't believe I had to fly coach to Sacramento to do this.
Yeah. If I'm a fan of this show, I've been in the bathroom or at the merch stand for the last 30 minutes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You can actually see people walking up the stairs in the background.
But this is actually a big announcement that they're making for the first time, that the winner of the Rumble is in the main event of WrestleMania.
So this is the first time they've made that announcement?
I believe so.
Okay.
And now time for the 75th annual Hunger Games.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. May the odds forever be in your favor.
Right.
Still, I mean, Sacramento, you can take a quick flight or probably even drive to Vegas. So, I mean, it's probably smart to do a commercial to say, hey, you know, you saw the Royal Rumble. Now come to Vegas and have a great time and see WrestleMania.
Yeah, good close proximity. Close enough.
Yep. Bobby Inns, very excited.
Yeah, nothing quite like Heenan and Monsoon on commentary, especially at the 92 Rumble the year before this. Definitely one of the highlights of that show.
As you pointed out last week, Jim, this is the last time that Heenan and Monsoon do a pay-per-view together. And okay. All right. And this is, I think, where we're going to have to leave it. Let's put the stop on the kibosh on this at 1 hour, 26 minutes and 23 seconds. The Fink is getting ready to deliver the introduction to the 1993 Royal Rumble. And we are back inside the very tranquil McNeil Command Center. Here we're going to tell you about a very special place, and that place is our patron at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Pat, aren't the shows free? And the answer is yes. Episodes we put out on Sunday are free to the general public. In fact, we have over 150 episodes available for free on our podcast feed. However, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like the entirety of our archives, you can always go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. There, for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get access to all of our shows, including the shows from the first 3.5 years that were behind the paywall previously. You can get access to those. You can get access to our shows in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed. And you can also get the version of our shows that comes without the commercial messages, including this commercial message that you are listening to right now. And yes, this does help support myself and Jim Valley, but you can also support Jim by going to gofundme.com/Jim-Valley-fundraiser and helping Jim and Carrie with the medical bills that they amassed in the 4 months that Jim was in intensive care. That's also helpful. But patreon.com/waybackplayback, you'll get all the episodes. You'll get them. You'll get the new ones ad-free and in advance. And you also get the bonus material, which we put together every couple of weeks. We try to do something special for the nice people in the Black Scorpion tier on Patreon. That's our $10 tier. And you'll get some of that material as time goes on, but the people on the Black Scorpion tier will get it several months in advance of the people on the $4.50 tier. So if you have money burning a hole in your pocket after the reduction in the cost of the WWE Network, and you have, I don't know, 190 spare hours that you don't know what to do with, definitely sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and thank you for listening.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. I'm
that's not just my opinion. That's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
And I can't think of a better place to leave off than right here, right now. Let's see. So, and of course, I'd like to remind everybody that I am at Real Pat McNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. And John, how can people follow you on social media?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at TheJohnSkyler. People can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram. So I look forward to doing many more of these in the very near future.
Well, not too many more of these, because you know, I think Jim would like to. Yeah. I think Jim plans on sticking around for a bit, but
I'm glad Jim's back. But maybe I'm not going to take Jim's spot, Pat. I'm going to take yours.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you got a plan.
As long as you don't mind emailing me all the research and stuff that you do, because I don't have time for all that. But no, yeah,
you're a big wrestling star.
Done deal.
All right.
No, thank you for having me as always.
No.
I'm not saying you've been replaced, Pat, but. Think of like Darren on Bewitched, or, okay, or the daughter on Roseanne. Okay.
So before I get Dick Sargented out of here, please leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. And of course, if you'd like to know more about the Big Boss Man, Bam Bam Bigelow, Brett the Hitman Hart, Scott Hall, or Bobby the Brain Heenan, you all know you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app, because they're all in books. Jim!
I just want to say, what a pleasure, seriously, it is to have John Skyler. Years ago, I first met him in person at our personal friend Bob Keller's wedding in Vegas. You know, even back then, John was put together to go out to Vegas, put together for the wedding, and you could just tell that this guy is a consummate professional. And if you've seen his stuff on Raw, or you've seen his stuff on AEW, you can tell that he's a consummate professional in his work as well, and is a credit to the wrestling business, and definitely worthy of your support and to follow on his social media. You know, I wish him nothing but continued success. You're one of the good guys, man, and I really enjoyed talking to you today. So thank you, John. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to testify as well that anybody who would spend 8 hours on the road with Bob Keller to then get to the building with him and help set up his ring and then do a show has an impressive dedication to the wrestling business. And so I knew that right away when I met John. As many years ago as John wants to claim.
I'm celebrating my 13th year in the sport this year, and it's going to be the best year yet. And it's all thanks to people like you guys who share the same passion as me and allow me to come on and give me a platform like this to talk about wrestling, because that's why we're all here. We all grew up huge fans of this. And Jim, it's so glad to have you back and hear you again and talk to you again, and can't wait to see you again.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hopefully we'll be able to hang out in Cauliflower Alley Club or something like that in the future, man.
Absolutely.
Me too. All right, so now it's time for Jim's line, I think.
Royal Rumble 93 next week, same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, we've got a guest host who hopefully is not regretting his decision and will be joining us next week. Until then, folks, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Go enjoy Fast Lane, and good night, everybody.